think we're seeing more and more companies more willing to talk about the work that they've been doing and push a little bit harder as they move into thinking about how they really live their values and move beyond just sort of their core business to make the world better. And that's really exciting for the work that we do around renewable energy.
Welcome to Active Energy, a podcast featuring conversations shaping the future of energy. Every episode will feature a conversation between energy professionals on topics and questions that are at the forefront of the global energy market. Growth in renewable energy is nothing new. In the past decade, this once rare and expensive form of energy generation has begun to dominate the global conversation, propelled by sharply declining prices and demands for carbon reduction in the energy grid. The United States alone has doubled their renewable capacity since 2010, and it is only continuing to grow in the states and beyond. Vice President of Global Clean Tech and Renewables, John Powers, jumped on a phone call with Aaron Decker, our Director of Clean Tech Management, to discuss corporate renewables and what we have seen businesses doing in the renewables and clean tech space, as well as concrete examples of how companies have structured and executed their projects.
Hey, Aaron, thanks for joining. It's always great to sit down and chat with you a little bit about some of the bigger industry topics and trends. Take a step back and look at the big picture. I know one of the big trends that we're seeing is overall companies, governments, cities starting to take climate and sustainability seriously. I know you saw the Larry Fink letter from BlackRock talking about how a company can't achieve long-term profits without embracing purpose and considering the needs of a broad range of stakeholders. I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit to how you're seeing those macro industry trends pop up, both with the Schneider client base and just at the in the industry at large.
Yeah, happy to be talking to you today, John. I think it's pretty exciting. You know, when I think about it personally, obviously BlackRock sends a strong signal, but I think it's building upon the work of so many of not only our clients, but other companies. You know, there's quite a history around specific companies really being focused on purpose. And I think we're seeing more and more companies more willing to talk about the work that they've been doing and push a little bit harder as they move into thinking about how they really live their values and move beyond just sort of their core business to make the world better. And that's really exciting for the work that we do around renewable energy. As we were prepping for this conversation, I was reflecting a little bit, though, that it feels like a moment in time with this, which is great, given some of the urgency of the issues that we're trying to solve as a world. But, you know, I used to work at Salesforce, and this has been the rhetoric of Marc Benioff for a long time, saying that, you know, the purpose of a business is not just to make money. And so I think it's really exciting to see companies who have been leaders for a long time in some of these issues have been sort of drumming this beat for a long time. But now we're really seeing it growing and emerging. And I think we're busier than we've ever been in some ways because of these purpose-driven values and goals that companies are acting on.
I know lots of people have 2020 targets, a lot of 2020 sustainability goals to hit, and there's a real desire to embrace, well, how do we get to carbon neutral, right? What do? We definitely want to address our electricity. Renewables is a great way to do that. How do we take it the next step to carbon neutral? And so, you know, we've seen a lot more strategy around scope one emissions and green gas. And, you know, how do we figure out ways to reduce our natural gas? Or if we can't reduce, how can we offset that through credible large scale infrastructure projects that remove carbon from the atmosphere? We're seeing that the conversation really shift back to carbon offsetting. I think there was a lot of talk of cap and trade a number of years ago, and that sort of faded for a while. And now really led by the corporates, people are starting to say, you know, what can I do with the overall with my overall carbon footprint? Are you kind of seeing that in the clients that you're managing, or how are you seeing some of those trends, Aaron?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the conversation has really switched from how do I clean my electricity supply in the United States for a lot of clients, right? Or if I'm a European company, what do I do, you know, here about Europe, really focused on electricity. And now with the growth of science-based targets and, a lot of carbon goals, so anchoring around overall carbon emissions, not, you know, merely sort of looking at the electricity and the carbon emissions related with that, I think it's really allowing our clients to see what's next and grow and really have even more ambitious commitments. And then what I'm really excited about is seeing companies try to push the market forward. That certainly happened in the renewable energy space. John, you and I have been around in the corporate side of that for really since the beginning and have witnessed that and the really powerful impact that on the environment that companies have successfully driven. And it's exciting to start to see that in a lot of other places, whether that's supply chain or looking at scope one emissions. And I just think we're seeing ambition at an unparalleled rate, which is great. And I also think we're seeing companies really start to tie that together, both back to what's important for them and to their mission, as well as, you know, to some of their core business elements beyond just electricity.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned some of those targets and goals and company missions that are driving a lot of this activity, you know, whether it's RE100 to get to 100% renewable, which is almost always going to, you know, you can look at power purchase agreements, but you're also going to need to look at energy attribute certificates, whether that's renewable energy credits in the U.S. or guarantees of origin. Obviously, we're doing millions of megawatt hours of those with clients every year to, you know, the carbon offsets. In terms of those goals and targets and company missions, you know, in some of the work, you know, as you're leading clients through this process, Aaron, in some of the work that you're doing, you know, how have you seen the companies with a strong corporate mission or strong corporate goals, whether that's a science-based target or an RE100 commitment, how do you see that, you know, coming into play as we go through the tough work of figuring out, you know, how to procure renewable energy, carbon offsets, energy attribute certificates?
Yeah, I think being aligned around a mission is really important to really the success of our clients, especially the kind of client we're talking about where the ambitions are broad. And I think that can either be a direct sustainability mission, but I also think you can see it in a lot of different ways where it's a healthcare company who says, you know, we want to try to improve the health of our communities around the world. And what I really think a mission does, and this is a personal opinion as well as what I've seen in action time and time again with our clients, is, you know, companies make decisions all the time around their core business. But in order for them to decide to do something that's not central to really making money, you know, the capitalism's at its core, is they need a value-based decision to do that. I even think about philanthropy. Like, so many companies have been doing philanthropy for such a long time. That's a decision they made, obviously not, maybe because they get, you know, a little bit of tax incentive to do that, but that's not why they're doing it. They're doing it because that somehow ties back to their vision and values and mission is trying to make the world maybe a little better. And so I think, you know, there's a long history of that. And I see that really specifically with our clients when, you know, when you're looking at renewable energy, energy markets are excitingly volatile or maybe not excitingly volatile, depending on who you are and asking in the moment. And so in order to really learn about them, which is maybe not central to their core business, and have the energy to execute and move forward on these strategies, I've really found that mission alignment is what's most important. It's, you know, really important not to just say, I'm just trying to make money, even if it's just trying to make money and or save money on a sustainability initiative, that really the kind of time commitment and potentially risk appetite that some of this stuff requires just goes so much more smoothly for our clients when they can anchor around not just the financial side of it. So I've seen it time and time again in a variety of different ways with our clients.
Yeah, it's funny. It kind of takes a little bit of both, I think. You know, I think people have been doing philanthropy for many years, but, you know, the philanthropic budget of a company, even a very philanthropic one, is typically not going to fund you know, a new 200 megawatt wind farm to get built. So there's a pretty large commitments. And so I think, you know, we have seen, you need an economic story. You need a story that says there's an economic case for this, whether that's keeping up with competition, landing new investors like a BlackRock, you know, landing employees or the next generation of top talent that really cares about these things. It's something customers are demanding. And then a lot of times, too, that there's an opportunity to lock in cost savings with renewables long term. But I think we've seen those things time and again. Sometimes the economics are enough, but more often than not, having that mission, that goal, that overarching, you know, sort of North Star that you're pointing towards can help companies overcome, as you mentioned, Aaron, a lot of these big challenges. Do you have any, you know, maybe examples of some clients where you've seen every one of these deals, particularly the larger and longer term the deal gets, is going to run into some challenges? You know, maybe do you have some concrete examples for the audience of, you know, here's a company where that mission really helped?
Yeah, I think I'll more broadly even just say is that I've seen time and time again without naming names at hard points, especially with power purchase agreements, which is kind of a different process and buying decision than, you know, carbon offsets or other environmental attribute certificates. But time and time again, when there's concern potentially about the time involved or the risk or the commitment needed, when the company is able to say, oh, but we have a goal around this, we have a mission to do this, it's really allowed them to realign. And I think there's some great examples of that where it's not, you know, it's companies who've gone above and beyond other than just saying, well, this is the right thing to do because it meets our goals. I think we have love to talk about a few companies where it feels like their mission really sort of anchored them around not only that they wanted to do something, but what they wanted to do and really drive towards success. And one of the clients that comes to mind is Cummins, the diesel engine company. It's actually based in Indiana, my home state. And they have a strong and long history of their mission. It's kind of surprising when I first learned about it, just because you think of diesel engines and you maybe don't think of, you know, someone who's really forward thinking around sustainability and social and environmental ways, but they really are. And that mission allowed them not only to say, we want to do something about renewable energy, this is the right thing to do, we're going to, you know, go through a process and look at a power purchasing agreement as well as a variety of other strategies, but they were really focused on, because we have such an important mission to make the world better in the communities we operate, they were really focused and did a deal in Indiana, which if at the time, if you were looking at a lot of other clients, they were doing deals in Texas because there's a lot of reasons for that, but potentially easier to do deals there. And so, you know, really Cummins' missions allowed them to decide, this is what we want to do and here's where we want to do it, and really tie that back in a really exciting way to their overall value and mission as a company. So those are the kind of stories where I really saw that alignment helping them succeed and decide what to do. I'm sure you have examples too, Lau. Do you feel like sharing one?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I love that Cummins example. Remember that process fondly. Another one of my favorites was, and they're all great examples, but another, you know, all 7,000 megawatts have been a joy and a challenge. Fifth Third Bank is another one that really stands out as, you know, the first company to do 100% of their load with one large solar deal. It was, you know, that most of their load is on the U.S., Mid-Atlantic and East Coast sort of location. They're a regional bank, you know, mid-sized regional bank, obviously very successful. They really cared about similar to Cummins, they cared about the location. They wanted to do something in the PJM, Pennsylvania, Jersey, Maryland, the grid region of PJM, where they have most of their load. So that was a big point of focus for them. And then, you know, one of the other really cool things was they are a lender to a number of different solar projects and developers of solar projects. And they were able to find a project that met their financial criteria, their timing criteria, their environmental criteria, and also supported one of their business partners from the banking side. So again, the mission to, you know, to drive forward, to serve customers, to make a difference where they're using power, as well as to, you know, work with their banking side of the business and get some extra benefit along those lines was a big driver.
Yeah, they're good. Well, you're excited because you got to be there when they announced it, when they rung the bell at the New York Stock Exchange. So that's why you want to talk about them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Also ties back to banking.
Exactly. And they're great about talking about it publicly too. And so love to highlight some of the stuff they've done. And it's also fun. I mean, we have, you know, giant clients, the Walmarts of the world who are great and everyone knows about, but it's sometimes fun to highlight the more mid-size companies as well that a lot of people can relate to.
Absolutely. I think they're doing just as much. And I think it's actually a really powerful example to other companies when it's not the companies who've been doing it for a long time, sort of the usual suspects, those usual suspects are really, really important, of course, to set examples. But I actually really love these examples because I think, well, you and I have both seen this in our work, but there's always a moment where someone during the process, especially talking about power purchase agreements, says, who else has done it that isn't a tech company? I mean, the number of times that I've heard this is almost every process. And I think that some of our clients who have done it for reasons that are a little less obvious to the greater public world are really exciting and really proud to have helped so many of them to achieve their goals.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think we continue to see the you know, we've talked mostly about the sustainability mission, the mission to do right. We're also seeing a lot of just convergence with other goals of the company, whether it's the desire to manage energy spend over time and provide risk management and hedging. And how can, you know, renewables play a part of that overall mission as well? And so, yeah, it's as you say, as we see more of the quote mainstream companies starting to look into this, there's a number of missions that are converged.
Yeah, and it's exciting. And just one more point that I'm just remembering recently is a client of ours who's actually sort of a repeat client. So they've done a couple deals in terms of power purchase agreements and, you know, not necessarily a household name recently as we've re-engaged with them to look at a few other possible things they could do, said for the first time that they've had a customer who made a buying decision. So actual like new revenue in part strongly because of the work they've done around renewable energy and sustainability. So that's, I think, just a little point on how a mission can pay off in the long run. That wasn't the case when they first started doing this work, but not only shows a shift in the overall market, but also a way that this kind of mission-driven work early was able to really enable business success for one of our clients.
Yeah. I love hearing those stories. And we've even seen it the other way too, where you get a little bit of success and then all of a sudden that enables, you know, a much stronger goal to go through the organization. If senior executives can see, oh, we've got a clear path to achieving this goal, you know, they can be a lot more apt to adopt it and publicly state it to the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, been a fun conversation here. And maybe we'll finish off with this one. You know, as you're in the position in our company, really sitting with clients, advising, you know, leading them through this journey around sustainability and renewable energy, where do you see that role going? How does that advisory relationship work? You know, how can having an advisor help?
Yeah, well, I always say if this were easy, I wouldn't have a job. And I think that's true, really, really deeply. I've also on a personal note, but on the other side. And so, you know, while there's all this mission-driven progress and goals that we've been talking about in this podcast, this stuff isn't necessarily easy. And what I find really valuable, I can really just give my perspective from what I see in our clients, is that because this isn't easy, you really need, even if you know energy, it doesn't mean you necessarily understand the nuances of renewable energy. And if you know sustainability, you know, maybe you struggle so you can help drive the decisions around what might be the best to meet your mission and your goals. You would struggle on executing on that. What I've really found is because it's so complicated and because markets are forever changing, that the real value we provide and that help our clients is just being a trusted partner. You know, we're experts, and I don't know, there's a few companies in this world who maybe know as much about renewable energy as we do, but they don't necessarily, other than that, these companies don't live and breathe this stuff every day, nor should they be expected to. You know, as we mentioned earlier, this is not necessarily part of their core business activity. And so I've just really seen, and I always feel really good about, as a client is struggling about how to make a decision or how do I move forward, we really get to bring our expertise, which comes from years of experience, as well as just being constantly in these markets and really talking to people and exploring to help clients meet their goals. So I think the real value add is, I don't know all the details. Let me go ask my expert advisor. And that really helps these companies move forward. So many examples of that. But yeah, I think that's really what it comes down to, is that even we don't know everything about renewable energy in the world, right? So how could any of our clients even get close? And so we can really, really support them.
Yeah, when we're seeing that a lot, when it gets to the executive level, the C level, to make a decision, and they're asking, you know, how do we know this is the right decision? You know, having that credible source that you've worked with, that has reviewed and been on your side, can make a big difference in those decisions for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it. It's been fun to sit down and talk some big picture stuff with you, as always. And thanks to everyone for listening.
Thank you for listening to Active Energy. We're thankful that you decided to spend some time with us. If you could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, wherever you listen, it would be a great help to us. Please also follow us on Twitter. It's at @SchneiderESS, or on LinkedIn and Facebook by searching @SchneiderESS. We have also started a LinkedIn group specifically for listeners of the podcast. It's a great place to interact with peers and continue the conversation from the podcast online. Be sure to look for the Active Energy Podcast LinkedIn group and join today. We'll be back in just a little bit with another episode. Until next time.